I'd like you to take out your Bibles and turn with me to Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7. Now, for those of you that have never heard me preach, not only are you in for a treat, but you'll find out that I love the Word. So we're just going to flow through things rather quickly. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7 says, "And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee." Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. God answered Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you must say to the people of Israel. I am has sent me to you." Again, God said to Moses, "This is what you must say to the people of Israel. The Lord God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. This is my title throughout every generation." And then Hebrews 11:6 says, "No one can please God without faith. Whoever goes to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him." Father, I love you so much, and I thank you once again for the opportunity to preach and to teach your word. And Father, I believe that every hearer is faithful, and your word, which is a powerful and incorruptible seed, will be sown deep within their hearts, and it will produce fruit 100-fold. Father, we thank you for it today, for it is in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen. Now, as Pastor Josh has preached, one of our core beliefs here at Genesis is that we are a house of heritage. And today is a special day because it's on this weekend that we traditionally recognize and honor those who in the military have given their lives in defense of our country. Now, Memorial Day started right after the Civil War in 1868, and it was known as Decoration Day. And it's where people would come together and they would place flowers on the tombs of those who had given their lives in war. And they would decorate the tombs with those, or their graves with those flowers. And then later on in the 19th century, we see that the actual term Memorial Day became used. But it wasn't until 1967 that it was a matter of law that that name was officially adopted. Unfortunately, over time, memories fade. And what we see is that now Memorial Day for many just seems to mark the beginning of summer. Where Labor Day marks the end, Memorial Day marks the beginning. It's the time when we can go back to the lake, have our barbecues, start vacations. And yet, the significance of this day is what I want to put us in remembrance of. Because I believe that we must never forget our heritage and what has provided for us the liberties that we enjoy. I'm going to do something a little different today. If you are here and you have lost a family member because they gave their life in service of our country, would you please stand? All right, I want you to come up here to the front. Go ahead and come on up here. Now, second, if you have served in the armed forces in any capacity, I want you to stand. What I would like is I'd like you to come and join these that are here. What we're going to do is let me get about 14 more people. You may know somebody serving right now. We have people from our congregation that are serving in the military. I'd like a few more just to come up and stand with these right now. Not only those that lost family members due to conflict, but those who know those that are serving currently. And we want to stand with them. And I want our ushers, we're going to hand a flag to everybody that's up here. Thank you. Okay, we need a flag for everybody that's up here. Oh, there we go. Okay. Oh, that's me. Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much. Now, there are many over time that have given their lives for these colors, if you will. There are those that have served and are defending these colors to this day. There are those that are overseas right now, and we want to honor them. Many people have given their lives that we enjoy the freedom from tyranny that we have. And my prayer is that we never forget the sacrifice of so many. It is one of those times to where we understand all that they have given, they could give no more. Winston Churchill is quoted after Battle of Britain saying, "Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few." And I believe we could echo those words today. So if you would, let's stand together. I know Memorial Day is tomorrow, but today we're going to take a moment and pray for those that are serving, families that have been changed by lost lives, and pray that God would infiltrate every fiber of their being. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up these families who have been permanently changed by the loss of a loved one, who were willing to give their lives for the freedoms that we enjoy. Father, I pray for a peace that passes understanding, that so many, Father, would be willing to just wrap their arms around these families and say, "Thank you. We appreciate the sacrifice of your father, your mother, your son, your daughter, aunt, uncle, cousin." And Father, today, may we never forget that on this day, it is more than just a moment in time. It is a day where we remember the sacrifice of the blood that was shed so we could have a freedom and live in the freedoms of a blessed nation like the United States of America. Thank you for the nation that we have in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and you may keep those flags. Being a house of heritage really is a powerful thing. Heritage means a lot of different things to different people, but really when you boil it down, it means two things. One, heritage is an inheritance, and it is a tradition. So when we say we have a heritage or that we're a house of heritage, we must understand that we have an inheritance, and there is a tradition. It doesn't mean that tradition is negative. It just means that there are traditions that are handed down. In fact, many traditions are very positive. We're not talking about the traditions of men that nullify the faith of God. We're talking about godly and biblical traditions that change the lives of people. See, when we boil it down to a singular term, we could look at heritage or that inheritance and tradition, and it's what we call covenant. We live in covenant. We have a covenant. So to be a house of heritage means that we are a house of covenant revealed by a rich inheritance through grace and a sound tradition of sacrifice so that many might come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Today I want us to look at what it means to be a house of heritage, a house of inheritance, a house of tradition, and a house of covenant. I believe that there are concepts that as we learn will change the way we see things and that we'll never approach a day of remembrance again the same, but that we will always remember the sacrifice of those who've gone before. When we use the word covenant, it's funny to me how many times we don't have a clue what covenant really is. We just use the term. You know, we've got a Bible. We call it an Old Testament and a New Testament, or an Old Covenant and a New Covenant. Well, what is an old covenant and what is a new covenant? What does it really mean for those of us that are believers in Jesus? I find it interesting that Webster actually knows more about covenant than many believers. Here's a definition. It is a mutual consent or agreement of two or more persons to do or to forbear some act or thing, a contract, a stipulation. A covenant is created by deed in writing, sealed and executed, or it may be implied in the contract. Interesting. It may be a writing containing the terms of agreement or contract between parties, or the clause of agreement in a deed containing the covenant. And then he says this, in theology, the covenant of works is that implied in the commands, prohibitions, and promises of God. The promise of God to man that means perfect obedience should entitle him to happiness. This do and live, that do and die. Now this is what Webster's saying about it. The covenant of redemption is the mutual agreement between the Father and the Son respecting the redemption of sinners by Christ. I want you to see what he put here. That the covenant of redemption is the mutual agreement between the Father and Son. The covenant that we have isn't because we simply made Jesus Lord of our life. That was just our ticket to enter the covenant that's already been made. That covenant was between the Father. The Word says because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. That's the covenant we have. There's nothing I can do to earn his favor. There's nothing I can do to obtain his grace. It's mine already because he chose it by covenant. I don't have to do something to get it. It's mine. And I like that. He goes on and says, the covenant of grace is that by which God engages to bestow salvation on man upon the condition that man shall believe in Christ and yield obedience to the terms of the gospel. Now think about that. He goes on and says, in church affairs, it's a solemn agreement between the members of a church. Do you realize that the church is referred to as the ecclesia? It comes from two Greek words, one ek, one kaleo. Ek means out of, kaleo means to call. So the church really is the called out ones. And in the Hebrew, there's two words closely related, one kahal and one edah. Kahal is a summoning together of all those capable of bearing arms. And edah means it is a covenant community that is so bound together by the same terms and agreement that to violate them meant death. So when you look at what the church really is, it is a group of believers who are called out to be a community that are so bound together by the same beliefs and goals that to violate the goal of anyone would be the same as giving up your life. See, it's not just a fellowship where we come together and say, well, geez, nobody invited me to the lake today. I think I'll go to church and hear Pastor Lonnie. Right? No, there's a purpose when we come together. What does Pastor Josh always say? Because they matter. We don't come to church for us. Church is not a selfish thing. Church is a place to serve because they matter. We don't serve them on the lake. We don't. No, don't misunderstand me. If you want to go to the lake, have fun. But you know what? Rarely are we serving the body on the lake. It's about us. It's all about us. The time has come for a shift in our region that it's not about us, it's about they. And as we go with that in mind, we know because they matter, we're here. You're here today because they matter. That person that walks through the door that doesn't know Jesus, that person that comes in for the first time just looking for an answer, you're the reason we exist. You're the reason we're here. It's not some religious club that we want to be a part of. We've got a purpose and we've got a mission because of a heritage that's based in covenant. And that makes the difference. That's what will set you apart from a religious happening and a relational outreach that will touch the lives of people. You know, when it came to the covenant, many people don't know that covenant went through a procedure in order to cut covenant. By Hebrew tradition, there were 9 steps to the covenant. And when you see these 9 steps, you begin to realize many things. The first of these steps is that you would take off your coat or robe and you would give it to another person. And in doing that, you would say, all that I am and all that I have now belongs to you. We call marriage a covenant because we're now saying, all that I am and all that I have now belongs to you. All that you are and all that you have now belongs to me. See, it's no longer where's the checkbook? It's where's our checkbook, right? It's not a matter of can I borrow something. No, it's mine. I have it because I'm in covenant with you. I don't borrow it from you. I'm in covenant with you. And when everybody gets involved, when everybody has a part of covenant, then the church as a whole or any local unit of the church begins to move. We honored those that gave their life in the military today. Now, I want you to hear this very carefully. When I joined the United States Navy, I became a part of the United States Navy. But I was useless as an entity in the Navy until I became a part of a local unit. It wasn't until I was assigned to a local unit that I could be sent out on missions that would matter. Now hear me. When a person gets born again, they become a part of the body of Christ, universal. But if you'll give me some latitude, I think they're pretty much worthless until they're assigned to a local unit. And once you get assigned to a local unit, now you can be used and sent out on a mission that will better the body of Christ and the community that you're sent out. Now you can start winning battles that will win the war, because it's not about us, it's about they. It's about those who need to know about the gospel. So when those who are in the military go out and give their lives, they didn't do it so they could say, hey, I died. They did it because there was a greater purpose. And you know what? Many of those individuals may never have even known the ultimate purpose. They just knew that they had been giving an order and their marching orders could not be violated. When the church of the living God gets to the point to where we understand, when our pastor says we're going this direction, we say, yay and amen. Yes, so be it. Just as it was in Acts 17 when Paul, or 16, when Paul got the vision, he didn't say, I think we're going to go to Macedonia. When he had that vision, all the others said, we knew it was for us to go. He had the vision, we went. And that's what it's like for the house of God. When our pastor speaks, we say, yes, that's the vision. Let's go. Let's fulfill it. Let's accomplish it. I know a lot of people, when it comes to religion, hate that. Because when it comes to religion, how do we know we can trust him? Let me put it like this. If you can't trust the man of God that God places over your life, what makes you think you can make it to heaven? I'm not saying it's conditional. I'm just saying, how is it that we can believe God to walk on streets of gold, but we can't believe him for our provision, our beans tomorrow? If we really want to say we're trusting and believing God, then let's trust and believe God wholeheartedly. It's not for us to question the vision. I understand this, that my head dictates to my body what it's going to do. My foot does not say to my head, let's go this direction. Because my head might say, no, that's dangerous. We're going this way. Like right now, my head says, don't forget you're a little blind in your left eye. If you take one more step, you will fall off that platform. Right? My foot doesn't care what's out there. It's just going to go. But my head says, that'd be dumb. Okay, so I want to listen to my head. The head gets the vision. In the house of God, our pastor is the head. He says, we go, we go. We're the feet, we're the hands, we reach out. We are the senses, if you will, to accomplish the direction that God has given to the man of God that he's placed over our lives. And trust me, if after 35 years of ministry, I can yield to Pastor Josh, so can you. Amen? And I'm excited about it. I don't go, I know who he is. Multiple times. I know the stink that can come out of that creature. No, it's irrelevant. You do not base a spiritual happening on a natural understanding. You can't. You have got to get into the spirit of what God is doing and say, God, I'm willing to yield, and echo the words of David. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Father, just let me do anything in your house. I don't care what it is. I'm just honored that you still use me. Thank you, Jesus. The second step in this covenant is that they would take off their belt and they would give it to the other person. The belt was referred to as the girdle. It wasn't something that held their pants up. That's where the weaponry went. When they went into battle, their sword, everything that they had was right there for battle. That second step in covenant says, I'm here to protect you. I will die before I let anything happen to you. That's covenant. That's why we don't talk bad about one another. No, because you would rather die than to gossip or to say something negative about a brother or sister in arms. Right? We had a saying in the military. It went like this. It said, inspection-ready units are never combat-ready. And combat units are not inspection-ready. You ever get into combat? You don't care if the guy next to you has his boots shined. You just want him shooting the same direction you are. Right? I'm not looking down. I don't think you... You don't care about the boots. Just fire the weapon. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God, pulling down strongholds. Don't let a stronghold get a hold of you to where you begin looking to be inspection ready. Because if you're always looking to be inspection ready, I promise you'll find a flaw around every corner. Somebody's boots aren't going to be shined. Somebody might have their hat on sideways. Somebody might have a tattoo. Somebody might have something else. You don't know what's going to happen. But if you're looking for an inspection-ready church, you won't find a battle-ready one. Because an inspection-ready church won't let anybody else in because they'll mess up the pristine nature of it. But a combat-ready church will bring anybody in as long as you're willing to fight. Hey, that's a memorial day. That's what we remember. That's what we say, Father, let us follow this covenant that you've given to us. The third step in this covenant is where they would actually cut the covenant. And they would take a sacrificial animal and split it right down the middle and lay the halves opposite each other. And then they would walk through that bloody mess together in a figure eight, doing a sharing promises of the covenant, if you will, and the terms of the covenant. And they would point down and say, the same be done to me should I ever violate this. That's how strong covenant is. Now some of you are going, oh, this sounds like a weird place. I don't want no dead animals. I don't want to be walking no place. Relax. There's some good news. I promise you. Once they would cut the covenant, the fourth step in this is that they would raise their right arm and cut the palm of the hand and clasp each other's hands and mingle their blood. And that was to say to the other person, we are becoming one with each other. To intermingle the blood is to intermingle the very life of one another. How many of you, when you were little, maybe it was only in my generation, but you'd cut your finger or something and you'd put it on somebody and say, now we're blood brothers. Huh? And you remember that? Where do you think that came from? It was a carryover of the covenant. Lifelong friends. The fifth step in the covenant is that they would exchange names. Each one takes part of the other's name and incorporates it into their own. The sixth step was to make a scar or some identifying mark. The scar is an outward evidence of the covenant that others could see and know that the covenant was made. And sometimes they would rub something into it so that the scar would stand out dominantly. The interesting thing is then if anybody saw that scar, they knew you were in covenant with somebody, and if they took you on, they'd have to take on your covenant partner. Some of you are already catching it. It Seventh step was to give terms of the covenant. Both parties to the covenant stand before a witness and list all of their assets and liabilities, because each one takes all of these upon himself. You're saying everything I have is yours and everything you have is mine. If something happens to you, your covenant partner will see to it that your wife and children are taken care of. The eighth step was to eat a memorial meal, where a loaf of bread would be broken in half, and each one would partake, saying, "This is my body that I'm now giving to you." And then they would take wine as a symbol of the blood that had been shed, and say, "This is my blood, which is now your blood." Plant a memorial tree. And then the two would plant a tree, and that's the ninth step. They would plant a tree so that they would never forget the covenant that was cut. Now let's go back very quickly. I want you to see these nine steps. They exchanged their coats or robes. All that I am is now all that you are. When Jesus went to the cross, a house of heritage means we're a house of tradition and a house of inheritance. Do you realize that according to Ephesians chapter 1, Paul said, "I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened so you would see your inheritance." When Jesus died, he said, "All that I am, you are now." That's why the word says, "As he is, so are we now in this life." Not when we get to heaven, right now. Everything that he died for, you are, you have, you possess. That second step, taking off the belt. You know, it is the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. They're mighty through God. I have his word. When I get that report that says I'm sick, I've got his word, the weaponry that says, "No, I'm well, I'm healed." When the enemy tries to remind me of my past and all my sin, I've got his word that says there's no condemnation to those who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There's no condemnation. It doesn't matter what you've done. It was handled by God. Because the word says where sin doth abound, grace does much more abound. The grace of God goes far beyond your sin ever could, and it was given to you before you were born. You can't sin enough to undo God's grace. Now, in that same passage in Romans 6, Paul says, however, don't use this liberty as an occasion to your flesh. Just because God's grace covers your sin, don't be stupid. Because you can get into sin and you'll face the consequences. God still loves you. He's still forgiving you. You're just brain dead dumb. Right? Don't do that. That doesn't work. That's not where you want to be. You've got to have something different about yourself. That third step, cut the covenant. An animal's killed and blood is shed. Remember what I said earlier? Because he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Generational God. Abraham said, God told Moses, you relay this, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is generational. The promises that God has spoken over this area, over this region, over our world will come to pass. I may not live to see them all. Pastor Josh may not live to see them all, but God's promises are true and sure, and they will come to pass. I'm going to take just a moment, because when I was praying for you guys this morning, I heard this so clearly. The promises that God made to you are sure and true. They're yea and amen. And every step was done in a way that would prepare you for what is about to come. No failures, perfect direction. Don't question the direction or the vision, because I know this man of God, woman of God, children of God, that where God is sending you, the greatest chapter of your life is about to unfold. I've had to turn a few chapter pages in my life, and they were difficult. And sometimes you question why God has you go down the road you go down. It doesn't make sense. Sometimes we go down the road because we just were that brain dead dumb. Not referring to you. I'm just saying I know me, right? But one of the things I do know is that your heart and your call for the nations is stronger than ever before. The things that you've been through, God is about to unleash. There are going to be doors that will open to you that will blow your mind. He's going to use you in a way that will literally take you around the world. Teaching anointing is going to be stronger than ever. It's going to be in you, Jane, like never before. It's been built for years. You guys are solid people in the Word, solid people in faith, and you know God's grace. And it's only going to be bigger and stronger. Tens of thousands will come to know the Lord because of the ministry you're about to walk into. Tens of thousands. Not a few here, not a few there. Tens of thousands. I want you to hear the word of the Lord. It's changing. This season is a brand new season. This is a He brought you to a region to rest, to launch, to be strong, to do whatever you need to do, but to also know you're surrounded by friends that will always uplift you, pray for you, believe for you, and stand with you. Amen? Amen. Okay, I got to land this thing. In that covenant, they would raise the right arm, cut the palm, and mingle the blood. Do you realize what the blood of Jesus has done for us? We don't operate in our own abilities. We operate because of the blood that God has given to us. Thank you, Jesus. And to exchange names, He took my name, which could be mud, and gave me His. The name of Jesus, that at that name every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That's the power, that's the authority that I get to walk in. When I go into foreign lands, foreign nations, when I go into places where people want to kill you, and I can't tell you how many times I've been hauled off at gunpoint, I know that I have the name of Jesus. I know that if you want to take me on, you got to take on my covenant partner. You can't touch this without touching that. So guess what? There's no fear. Not only is there no condemnation, there's no fear. You just do what God's called you to do, and it's great. That scar that's made, we still have that scar in the hands of Jesus, in the feet of Jesus, the crown of thorns on his head, the spear that went into his side. And the terms of the covenant have been written down in God's word. It's called a New Testament. It's the last will and testament of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And a will goes into effect upon the death of the one that made it. Jesus died and his will went into effect. But not only that, he rose from the dead so he could be the executor of his own will. And now he says, not only did I tell you what my will is, I think I'll come back to life to make sure you get it. Praise God. The eighth step was to eat a memorial meal. We're going to do that together this morning. The communion that we take is based in this covenant as a house of heritage. So this morning, if our ushers are ready, we're going to receive this together. Here at Genesis, we have an open communion. You're not saying that I'm joining a church. You're not saying that anything other than Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And with that, we want to make sure that you have everything that you need to be equipped for the gifts and the call of God that's on your life. Pastor Josh reiterates over and over and over, you are not here to build the church. We are here to build you. To help you. The church is here to build the individual. And no matter how large Genesis gets, the individual will still be the focus. It's not going to be numbers. Numbers are irrelevant. In fact, the only man who decided to take a census, God rebuked. It's all about the people. Let's go ahead and distribute these. ninth step of the covenant was to plant a memorial tree. Just as we had the flags today for Memorial Day, there is a symbol that will last throughout eternity, which is known as the cross. A tree that was planted. That tree planted that we must never forget the covenant that we have in Almighty God. I'll tell you what, I get excited every time I think about all that Jesus has done for me. I get more pumped up every time I get to share Jesus with somebody else, somebody new. Something that just courses through your veins. It's a new blood. It's a covenant that we have. Amen. While they're distributing these, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning with verse 23. It says, after all, I passed on to you what I had received from the Lord. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. And he spoke a prayer of thanksgiving. He broke the bread and said, this is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me. As a house of heritage, we are always to remember, to never forget. But let me put another bug in your mind. What we do today will become the heritage of the next generation. So heritage isn't just looking back. Heritage is making room for the future. He went on to say this. When supper was over, he did the same with the cup. And he said, this cup is the new promise, new covenant, new testament, made with my blood. Every time you drink from it, do it to remember me. Every week we receive communion together. The reason is we're a house of heritage. This is the one thing Jesus said, as often as you do this, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. I've got some good news. Jesus is coming again. Whether people like it or not, he's coming. And it's not whether people follow him or not won't stop him from coming. He's coming. My choice is I get to be a part of it or I get to miss it. I just choose to be a part of it. I choose life over death. I choose blessing over cursing. I choose grace over sin. I choose those things which he's provided for me. Amen? Amen. So in all of that, I told you good news. The good news is when Jesus made covenant, he did it with the Father, and you can't nullify it. Nothing you've done, have done, or will ever do can nullify this covenant. Nothing you've ever done or could ever do will nullify God's grace in your life. Amen. Let's go ahead and bring those forward, gentlemen. Has everybody been served? Okay. All right. Father, let's stand together. Father, today, we thank you for the bread. Symbolic of your body. May we rightly discern the body of Christ and find our place in that body. Father, we recognize that it's all about they. Help us find our place in the body of Christ that we might serve they. We love you so much and we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's eat together. Father, just like the Apostle Paul relayed to us Jesus' actions, he took the cup and blessed it. And this cup is symbolic of the blood of Jesus, that new covenant that we have, blood shed for us. Father, we thank you for every covenant blessing and promise that is ours because of this blood. May we never forget the sacrifice of the one for the many. We love you, Father, and we thank you for the life of Jesus and his sacrifice upon that cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's drink together. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a moment and tell him how much you love him and appreciate him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this morning. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Father.